see Loyola in the championship game Monday night? Yes or no? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
We're going to pray to God, ask God to help us, and we're going to tell God that we'll be there to do our part.
Ah, the wise words of Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt at a news conference today in San Antonio, a news conference that was standing room only. Meanwhile, simultaneously, a couple of the Loyola players were in another room with two reporters sitting in the chairs. You can tell who the real star of the Final Four has been so far. Of course, they haven't played any games yet. That is coming up tomorrow. You can hear it right here on KGYM. Welcome in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Great show for you on our airwaves tonight until 7 o'clock. Thomas Bendit of SB Nation is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. He covers Big Ten basketball, but he also primarily follows the Michigan Wolverines, one of the four teams still playing for a championship at this point. We can say that because last night the NIT wrapped up, Penn State taking home its second ever NIT championship, so perhaps the Big Ten can sweep the top two postseason tournaments this year if Michigan can hold serve against Loyola and then take down Villanova or Kansas on Monday night. Speaking of, our poll question today, KGYMradio.com, is just that. What two teams are going to be playing for the title Monday night? You can vote at KGYMradio.com, and you can watch the games at Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Love it or leave it, a Friday staple. Also tonight, 5:30, we're going to touch base with incoming Iowa basketball player C.J. Frederick, the Kentucky Gatorade Player of the Year. And then 6 o'clock hour, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us, I believe, for the last time this season, although we may extend it through spring football. I'm not quite sure where we're at on those lengthy contract negotiations. It's much like baseball's offseason and free agency. A couple baseball games going on today. Detroit and Pittsburgh battling to see who has the worst bullpen in baseball early on. It is 10-10 in the 10th inning. And in Cincinnati, delayed opening day there for the Cincinnati Reds and the Washington Nationals. The Nationals are on top 1-0 after three innings. Speaking of baseball, I want to give a shout-out to my good friend Jack Dom and the Mount Mercy Mustangs. They are in action today right now at home, the brand-new, beautiful facility. It's actually the first time I've ever had a chance to take in a game there. I've been to the facility, but they haven't been playing. They were hosting or are hosting Culver-Stockton College out of Missouri today. One game, 10-5. So way to go, Mustangs. And again, just congratulations to everybody over there for being able to put together that great facility. Paul Gavin, the athletic director, wonderful, wonderful facility. And great to see baseball. It was baseball weather out there. The Colonels could have played today if they were in town. They're getting in town on Sunday. And yeah, they're coming in on Easter Sunday. Opening day in the Midwest League is next Thursday. The Colonels' home opener is going to be a week from tomorrow, so we're 8 days away from the season opener. Why am I talking about the Colonels? Well, they're hosting Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium this June. We've got a pair of tickets for one of our lucky listeners tonight before 7 o'clock. If you're unfamiliar with Hairball, it's the band that refuses to let 80s rock die. Think of Queen, Kiss, Van Halen, all of the great artists of the 80s. They cover them all, and they played at a number of venues around Cedar Rapids. They've never played the ballpark, though. Now, there is no Colonels game that night. It's just the concert. General admission tickets, they're all on sale. They went on sale Monday at 10 a.m. You can get them at colonels.com, but be listening for your chance to win. Alex, I want to ask you the question that actually the inspiration for this came from somebody who I try to tune out. Stephen A. Smith. I was driving on my way, I believe it was from the Mount Mercy baseball game today, when I heard Stephen A. Smith ask, when he didn't really ask, he said he didn't want to see Loyola in the championship game. He said specifically, I do not want to see Cinderella in the title game. So I ask everybody out there today, including you, do you want to see Loyola in the title game on Monday night, or do you want to see quote-unquote blue blood basketball or Power 5, Power 7, however you want to word it, programs in Michigan and either Villanova or Kansas? 319-366-1600. Are you hoping that tomorrow night in San Antonio the clock strikes midnight for Porter Mosier and the Loyola Ramblers?
Stephen A. Smith, please stick to the NBA. I don't understand what the question, why someone would say that. If Loyola proves that they're a better team than Michigan and beats them and controls the pace and plays better team basketball and shuts them down, shuts Michigan down offensively and as efficient as they've been throughout the NCAA tournament, I think that they have earned the right and deservedly put themselves in a position to get to the national championship because they have been the better team in most of these contests. So this whole notion that we have to have Power Five teams in college basketball, and it goes back to the whole UCF thing in college football. I thought that UCF was one of the top five teams in college football, and I thought that they were within a touchdown of any team in the country, and they had, on any given day, they had a chance to beat any team in the country. And this, the I think the same, not quite as much. Now, I don't think that Loyola is quite as good in the realm of college basketball as UCF was in college football, but they have certainly earned their spot, and they are if they beat Michigan, then I would, whoever's the better team on Saturday night is who I want to see in the national title game. It's just that simple to me.
I'm taking a peek at the Hertine and Stocker text line. Hertine and Stocker located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. The number, by the way, for the text line, if you are unfamiliar with the program, 319-366-1600. I hate saying that our listeners' opinions do not count, but when you are Don the Ohio State fan and you say yes because Michigan sucks, that is probably not exactly in-depth analysis of the possibility of Loyola advancing to the championship game, but I know where you're coming from. There's certainly no love lost there in that rivalry. Other people chiming in as well. Look, they've earned the right to be there, and if they beat Michigan, then I'm going to be pulling hard for them against Villanova or Kansas, even though my bracket still sort of hinges on Kansas. I don't think I can win any money, even if Kansas wins the whole thing. So you know what? Why not Loyola, national champions? I'd even buy a shirt, probably. 319-366-1600. Let's start with Sonny in Iowa City. Sonny, what's up?
Hot take coming out of the text line, huh? That was a good one.
Yeah, well, he's Don the Ohio State fan. I would have raised an eyebrow if he said, yeah, I'm rooting for Michigan to beat them.
Right, give it to Big Blue. Couple things. I don't think that the comparison to the college football playoff is quite the same. And the reason is because I tend not to want to have the small schools that go through a weaker conference and then end up being propelled into a one-shot game. And the reason is because I just think that the schools that really suffer through these week in and week out bloodbaths really do deserve a little bit more credit than some of the smaller conferences. Having said that, it's different in the NCAA tournament because the Cinderella, it's not a one-shot. It's not Cinderella had a chance to go play in the finals. They had to earn their way through every single game in this tournament. Each game, presumably, and in, I think most people would agree, actually getting harder and harder in order to get there. So I'm okay with that. Now, I think that this year I'm even more inclined to be happy if they make the finals because I have cared less about college basketball this year than any other year in recent memory just because of the Iowa and Iowa State and even you and I situation. There's just been such a lack of interest in Iowa basketball this year that it kind of drove me away from the sport entirely. And so if I don't care a lot, then yeah, I'm rooting for just something spectacular. And the only thing that'd be really spectacular this year would be a Cinderella in the finals and maybe winning it all.
All right, Sonny, thanks for the phone call. Of course you should be rooting for Loyola. I think it's great for college basketball that Loyola is in the Final Four. I really do. Be still my beating heart. We've got a caller waiting behind Sonny. It's Scott in Marion. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, I would echo everything that previous callers said. In addition to, I would say this is why I love college basketball and can't stand NBA basketball. And I also would say to Fran, I hope you're watching and you see what happens when you play defense and your team buys into your system and you actually play with heart, all those things, you know, just those intangibles that you can win in basketball when you play like a team. And that's what I think Loyola has proven in this case. There's more talent in other teams, but there's few teams that play better as a team than that team does. Thanks, guys.
No problem. If I recall correctly, I think that's not the first time Scott and Marion has commented about Fran McCaffrey. And I know for a fact he's going to be watching because he and his wife, Margaret, are in San Antonio at the Final Four. He was going to be on the program with us tonight in the 6 o'clock hour and had to decline because he was out of town in San Antonio, as most coaches are at the Final Four. So he's going to see up close and personal both of these games tomorrow and then Monday, the national championship game. Who will be playing Monday night? That's, our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Somebody on the text line says, whatever Stephen A. Smith says, I root for the opposite. So Loyola to the championship game. I don't understand the angst about a mid-major being, and I remember back in 2006 that I was extremely excited about it because my throwaway bracket that year had George Mason in the Final Four, and it's the only time I've ever won a significant amount of money in NCAA tournament pools, and that was when I filled out two brackets. I no longer fill out different brackets. I stick with the same bracket all the way through, except when I'm too stupid to go back and change all of them at the same time. Virginia. My quote-unquote serious bracket was terrible that year, and my throwaway bracket won me a significant chunk of change because George Mason, coached by Jim Larranaga, who's now at Miami.
Who lost in the first round to Loyola.
Made that, yeah, well, exactly. Everything sort of comes full circle, but that was great for college basketball, in my opinion. I think it's good for the sport when you see these teams from mid-major conferences do well in the tournament. Now, there are some people out there that say they want to see the one seeds every year. And if that's the case, watch college basketball in November when they play these tournaments in Maui and Alaska and Duke and Kentucky, and they go there and they're trying to get the matchups like that you want to see. If you want to see Michigan State and Duke, watch the 2K Classic or, you know, whatever. This time of year, give me the teams that can successfully navigate the tournament field. It is not easy to do, especially on short notice. And everybody, well, you know, Loyola upsets Miami in the first round, and then maybe the round of 32, they're not prepared for Loyola. Well, Loyola has the same issue. They had to prepare on 2 days' notice for an opponent and moving forward throughout the rest of the tournament. So don't give me that line of reasoning.
Well, I think that's a credit to Loyola, how difficult they are to prepare for. And I hate drawing across sports lines, but I do it all the time because I know college football more than I know college basketball, and be the first one to admit that. But I hear people talk about Navy all the time in that same sense. Oh, well, they're boring, they're this, they're that. What they are is effective. What they do well is they have one of the best offenses in the country because they're so difficult to prepare for. They control the pace, and they make every offensive possession for these high-powered offensive teams so important because they put doubt in the other team's mind as we may only have 5 or 10 possessions. And I think Loyola, offensively, is so efficient, and they play the game at their pace that they make these high-powered offenses so unsure of themselves because they know that they're going to have to guard that offense. The way Loyola moves the ball and the way that they're going to have to guard that kind of offense for 30 seconds of every shot clock. And that's not easy for any team to do. So the reason they're so difficult to prepare for, or the reason that they've been so effective, is because they're so difficult to prepare for. And any team, whether it's Villanova, Duke, Kansas, Tennessee, Miami, whoever's going to play them is going to have to play at their pace. And that's a credit to them. That's not a knock against them.
Kool-Aid is all in on Loyola on the text line. I understand people wanting the quote-unquote best teams in the round of 16 or the Elite Eight, but now that Loyola has a chance to make the championship, going all in. And Patrick in North Liberty, want to get him on here because I always love when people let us know who they are on the other side of the text line, so thank you, Patrick. If you are rooting against a mid-major team specifically because they are a mid-major, then why even have mid-majors in the tournament? I don't understand that line of reasoning from people, but there are folks out there who only buy name-brand clothing, or they will only buy name-brand goods when they are at the store. They don't want to buy the, and I'm going to say off-brand here, and I'm probably going to insult everybody in the Missouri Valley Conference, but please use your critical thinking skills here to understand what I'm saying. The people, you know, I think back to when I was a kid, and I'm sure a lot of you were the same way. Kids, especially in middle school, are extremely materialistic because you're constantly being judged by the people that you go to school with. And you wanted to have the best Nike tennis shoes. You wanted to have, I'm going to show my age here, but Guess jeans and Z Cavaricci jeans were extremely popular when I was that age. You didn't want to be the kid going to school wearing Wranglers or Rustlers or Lee jeans. And there's a certain subset of people out there, they have to have, oh, this Burberry scarf is $400 and it's going to keep my neck and face as warm in the wintertime as the $4 scarf from Walmart. I've got to spend $400 on this because it's Burberry. I've got to have Kansas or Villanova in the championship game, and I've got to have Michigan in the championship game because that's a Big Ten school, and the other school I'd never heard of before I filled out my bracket, and what's the Missouri Valley? So those people live miserable lives, and you don't realize it at the time because when you're 12, 13, 14, you're wanting the same thing. I mean, I feel so bad for my parents. I can't apologize to my parents enough for begging them for some of the things that I did when I was a kid, just because you had to have the name brand. So for you people out there who don't want to see Loyola in the championship game at this point, you may be in luck because I think Michigan is going to win tomorrow night, but I'm with Kool-Aid. Why not? They've gotten this far. It's turning the college basketball world on its head. So let's just root for a little bit more chaos at this point. And everybody that says, well, they're going to get blown out in the champ, people have thought they were going to lose or get blown out every single game along the way. Although one group of people hasn't. That's the odds makers in Las Vegas because the spreads in the Loyola games have been very, very close. I think the last game, it was about a 4-point spread. So the odds makers are about the only people out there other than MVC and Loyola fans who are giving the Ramblers any credit.
My younger brother is living in Chicago right now, and he said, and it kind of echoes what you're talking about with the name brand. This goes back to
Schaumburg, Chicago, or Chicago, Chicago?
What's it called?
Okay, so he's living...
No, it's Highland Park. Highland Park. So he's living in Evanston, though, which is kind of an extension of the city.
You know, you went to Iowa, too. You know exactly what I mean. I'm from Chicago.
Absolutely. Yeah,
No, you're not.
But he said the first day of the NCAA tournament, they're playing Miami. And everybody that he's training with and all the people that live, that he knows that kind of live in the Chicagoland area, he goes there and he says, you know what? Loyola's going to win today. They're going to get to the Sweet 16. Everybody looked at him and said, What are you, nuts? It's like, I'm not a big college basketball fan, but there's no way that Loyola is going to beat the U. They'd never seen either team play, but it's all about that name brand. And I think people have a tough time getting over that. They're not going to beat Tennessee. Kansas State, they can beat Kansas State. They're not going to beat a blue blood like Michigan. They're certainly not going to beat a blue blood like Villanova at Kansas until they do.
3594 in the text line says, the real question is, why does Todd know what a Burberry scarf is? Well, occasionally, about two or three times a year, Marty Terrell will show up at an Iowa news conference, and I'll leave it at that. 426, let's go ahead and keep it here. Kyle's going to bring you your first of six Midwest One Bank Big Board updates. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
Iowa baseball's in Champaign this weekend for a weekend series with number 25 Illinois. The Illini are 16-5 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, while the Hawkeyes are 14-8 and 1-1 in the conference. Lefty Nick Allgaier will get the start in Game 1 tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. Former Cyclone guard Donovan Jackson participated in the NCAA three-point contest last night, but was eliminated in the first round, scoring just 12 points. Next up for him is the inaugural 3-on-3 tournament that will take place at the Final Four this weekend. Iowa State football got a commitment yesterday from class of 2019 cornerback Joseph Thompson. He's a 5'10", three-star cornerback out of Chicago, the 23rd-ranked recruit in Illinois, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Illinois, Ball State, and Toledo, among others. The Rough Riders sit at 21-23 with just 7 games left to get above 500, and tonight they're heading to Dubuque for a matchup with the Fighting Saints. Puck drop will be at 7:05 at Mystique Ice Arena, and then tomorrow night the Riders are back home with the Chicago Steel, and you can see that one right here in Cedar Rapids, also at 7 o'clock. Tonight after the show, we're going to pick up the women's Final Four games. We'll join Louisville and Mississippi State in progress. They'll be followed by Notre Dame trying to keep it close with UConn on all three KGYM frequencies. And then tomorrow, we'll pick up coverage of the men's Final Four at 2:30 before Loyola and Michigan tip around 5, followed by Kansas and Villanova, also on all three KGYM frequencies.
All right, imagine going to a sporting event and finding yourself about two-thirds of the way through the game participating in it. If you missed that story, we'll have it for you before 5 o'clock tonight. But I want to give I very rarely do this, but I do want to give a quick shout-out to someone who I know has listened to the program for a very long time and is a fan, and there aren't a whole lot of those people out there, at least not in my mind. I keep finding more and more of them, and it's still hard to believe, and I appreciate every single person who actually enjoys what it is that I do here and what it is that we do here. But I understand that Steve Hubler is retiring from Hy-Vee here in Cedar Rapids, and Steve has been a longtime listener, and we've got a great relationship with Hy-Vee, so I'm not going to get in trouble for mentioning him or them. But Steve, congratulations on retiring, and I hope you're sticking around. It sounds like maybe a move to the Des Moines area could be in the works, and, well, you can always listen to us online at kgymradio.com or on one of the numerous radio apps that are out there on your phone, but congratulations on your retirement. We're going to talk Final Four, and specifically the Big Ten team remaining in the Final Four. Thomas Bendit of SB Nation is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Love it or leave it, a conversation with incoming Iowa freshman basketball player C.J. Frederick and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com all on the way, plus tickets to see Hairball. Stick with us. Final 2.5 hours of the program tonight are going to be fantastic.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids, and Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
One in five Iowans lives with a disability. A gift to Easter Seals Iowa helps individuals with an intellectual, developmental, or physical disability, autism, or mental illness get the training they need to live, learn, work, and play. Please donate at disabilityia.org today. Easter Seals Iowa, turning disabilities into possibilities. Sponsored by Easter Seals Iowa and aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
ESPN Radio and all the ESPN networks now. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Ty Lue won't coach the Cavaliers tonight against the Pelicans, but he will be at the game as an observer. Lue stepped away from the team almost 2 weeks ago to take care of his health. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports Lue hopes to be back on the sidelines next week. The Warriors will finish second in the West behind the Rockets. But Steph Curry says he's not worried about the team's long list of injuries.
We've had an interesting year, to say the least, but we're, you know, second in the West, dealing with all these injuries that eventually we're going to get everybody back. So we know we need to you know, get that playoff intensity and build that momentum, but I'm not worried at all right now.
Steph Curry on First Take. 76ers coach Brett Brown says he doesn't know how long center Joel Embiid will be out. Embiid has an orbital fracture around his left eye. Baseball today, a wild game in Detroit. The Pirates and Tigers are tied at 10 in the 10th. The Nationals lead the Reds 1-0 in the 5th. Fran Dunphy plans to coach just one more season at Temple.
You know, in something so obvious, they call it a no-brainer? Well, here's a big one. Barbasol is finally making razors. Introducing the Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus. It's got six ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. You can go to Barbasol.com right now and save some money. That's a no-brainer, too.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Now through April 8th, get the best deals on everything for another rockin' biking season at Hall Bicycle. Save big on all Trek bikes over $300, including hybrid, mountain, road, and electric assist bikes. Plus, get 20% off any accessory you need for fun, fast, safe, and comfortable cycling. Get ready to ride now through April 8th at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue in downtown Cedar Rapids, or online at hallbicycle.com. Serving cyclists since 1898.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Only Quicken Loans has earned 12 J.D. Power Awards. No other lender comes close to that level of client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives our clients a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online in minutes. No one else has anything like it. And our people, each one of our 17,000-plus team members throughout Detroit, Cleveland, and Phoenix provides absolute client satisfaction each and every day. So why would you go anywhere else to get your mortgage? Go to America's number one online lender. If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Did two.
With McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu, you can choose among favorites for just $1, $2, or $3, which means you can get two Happy Meals for $3 each, a triple cheeseburger for $3, and a two-piece buttermilk crispy tenders for just $2. Or, as Dad likes to call it, the...
Finally, some peace and quiet on this cross-country road trip meal.
But Dad, I thought you always called it the family time is special time meal.
Build whatever meal you want with McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out.
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
That's the most asinine marketing I've ever heard of.
Jake in Cedar Rapids on the text line says that Guess jeans are a thing again. Never had them and will not have them currently. So they can be a thing again in the future as far as I'm concerned. Trying to remember, Cindy Crawford, I think, may have been the Guess Jeans model when I was a young man. Perhaps that was why that has always stuck in the back of my mind. Great show for you too, 7 o'clock tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be in with us. There may or may not be some Iowa recruiting news to talk about if you follow the buzz on the internet. C.J. Frederick, who has committed to play for the Iowa basketball team next year, is going to be with us at 5:30 tonight. Love it or leave it on the way in hour number two. But first, taking a look at the Hurtine and Stocker text line, Jack in Central City says, if Iowa can scare Michigan, I think Loyola can beat them. Let's talk a little bit about the Michigan Wolverines and their chances of advancing to the championship game Monday night against either Villanova or Kansas. Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse on the SB Nation, a series of sites, joins us on the program today. Thomas happens to be an alum of a certain school to the east of us in the Big Ten, and maybe wearing his maize and blue blinders with us today. But Thomas, I'm sure you've been enjoying watching this run John Beilein and the Wolverines are on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I've enjoyed it, I have to be honest. It's been a lot of fun. Didn't see them going this far. They caught some breaks as far as the bracket went. But, playing on Saturday against Sister Jean and Loyola, and excited to see what happens.
This team, I think, has won 13 consecutive games. They ran through the Big Ten tournament. They've gotten through the NCAA tournament. They had one really good offensive performances, three other games where they got through not playing very well offensively. How has this team made it to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a combination. I think for the first part of it is they have got some fortunate bounces. You know, we all know there's some madness in March. You know, some teams go down, and you know, the flip side of that is, well, some teams get some favorable matchups as a result of those upsets. And Michigan was one of those teams. You know, North Carolina, they got upset by Texas A&M in the second round, so they got to avoid the two seed in the South. And then additionally, Xavier went down to Florida State in the first weekend as well. So due to some weird seeding, Michigan actually enters the Final Four having not played a team seeded above six. Houston, who is the sixth seed in the South, is actually the highest seeded team they've played so far, which kind of bizarre, but that's just kind of how the cards fell. And then the other part of it, yeah, I mean, they've only had one game where they were really excellent offensively, and it's been the defense. They've shut down some great players. If you watch Saturday against Florida State, they really disrupted that Seminole offense. They could never get things initiated well. At one point, they had to go to an uber small lineup just in hopes of getting something moving on Michigan's defense. So it's been the defense. It's been the balanced team. You know, Wagner is probably their quote-unquote best player, but they don't have a guy who dominates the ball offensively. It's a team attack. Really good team basketball, and they find themselves playing on the final weekend.
I'm sure you're like the rest of us. You've enjoyed watching Loyola's tournament run, the Sister Jean reference coming on the program with us right out of the gate. If you're John Beilein, what's the recipe to success in making the clock strike midnight for Porter Mosier and the Ramblers?
Well, certainly. I think the big thing is, you know, Loyola is actually a pretty similar team to Michigan in a lot of ways. They're another team. They're more defensive oriented than offensive based. They shoot the ball well. They have a complicated offense. They move it a lot. I think the biggest part for Michigan is on the defensive end of the court. They got to slow down Custer in the backcourt. If they can get him uncomfortable, put some pressure on him there, I think they'll minimize the easy opportunities for Loyola. And then, you know, obviously you talked about, you know, Michigan struggled offensively a little bit the last couple of weeks. And, you know, they just got to hit some shots on that side of the court. But I think if they can disrupt the Ramblers when the Ramblers are on offense, I think they have a decent shot of coming out with the win.
It's interesting because I've watched this team. We saw the opening round of the Big Ten tournament game against Iowa, where it was another pretty rough offensive performance, and then they explode after that. And then you see them against Montana and Houston, and they're struggling offensively, and they absolutely explode against Texas A&M. Is this team as streaky as what I've seen this past couple of weeks offensively, or has the season told a different tale?
Yeah, I think they're streaky offensively. You know, the defense has really been what's carried them over the last couple of months. You know, you mentioned the Big Ten tournament, and they had a pretty rough offensive performance against the Hawkeyes, but, you know, on fire the rest of the time in New York City. And I think the biggest thing that has sort of led to that inconsistency on offense is Wagner. He's really the guy in that pick and roll who has to play well, because Xavier Simpson, who is the point guard for the Wolverines, he's not necessarily a dominant player offensively. So I think it's when Wagner's playing well, and a guy who relies a lot on the long ball and some of those favorable, slow-footed big men opponents. He just needs to play well, I guess, to put it most simply. And, you know, when he's not having a good night, Michigan's offense tends to cool down. So I think how he plays in San Antonio will certainly play a big factor for the Wolverines.
I was going to say, you lead me right to my next question. Mo Wagner seems like the one guy that Loyola doesn't have a matchup for. How big is he going to have to be tomorrow night?
Oh, I think he's going to have to be huge. I mean, Loyola, they can score inside, but I think they're going to have a lot of trouble defending Wagner, at least in theory. I thought Florida State actually didn't defend Wagner that well, but he couldn't hit a shot to save his life, so it really didn't matter at the end of the night. And I really think Loyola's it's going to be interesting to see what they try to do to try to stop Wagner. A lot of teams have tried to switch and put some smaller athletic guys on him. My guess is Loyola is going to throw a couple different packages at him, rotate a couple different guys, and see what they can do. But if he's on, I think Michigan's got a great shot. If he's having another cold night, things could be interesting down the stretch.
Thomas Bendit of SB Nation with us on the program. Going to allow you to put your Michigan glasses on here and assume that the Wolverines get past Loyola and play on into Monday night. Who would you rather see your alma mater take on, Villanova or Kansas?
Yeah, well, I wish I had some wood here to knock on. But I would say Kansas. I think they're, just on paper, I think they're a weaker team than Villanova. Now, both, obviously, the Jayhawks and Wildcats, great teams. I mean, you don't make the Final Four unless you're a pretty good team. But I think Michigan has some matchups where they can make Kansas a little uncomfortable. I think the thing about Villanova is they're one of those teams, they can win in any way. They can win a slow game. They can win a fast game. They can win a shootout, a slog. They're, to me, the best team in the country. I think Villanova is just loaded this year. So, you know, if you're rooting from a Michigan or, I guess, a Big Ten perspective, I think you hope Kansas is the team that advances.
What is it about John Beilein as a coach that makes his team so successful this time of year?
I really think the two things that separate him is first, just the attention to detail. If you read anything about him or follow him, get to attend a practice of Michigan, just the attention to detail is really impressive. It's just simple passing drills. I know Stu Douglas, one of their former players, was talking this week about how, you know, he would just grill them on practice tape. So I think the attention to detail and then just the player development, you know, working on those basic skills. And to me, an example of that is Charles Matthews, who was actually the MVP of the West region this year. He transferred in from Kentucky, and he was kind of a mess, to be blunt. Earlier this season, he turned the ball over a lot, had a lot of trouble with consistency on offense, but he has developed. Beilein has continued to work with him along with the assistants, and, you know, that attention to detail and that consistent focus and development, I think, is what separates John Beilein.
Let's talk about a Big Ten team that won a postseason championship this year. Penn State claiming the NIT crown last night. I know from following you on Twitter that you are not buying into the fact that this is the signal of a dynasty beginning for Pat Chambers in State College.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be the downer, the guy who's pouring the cold water on the Nittany Lions. You know, it was a great run. They beat a lot of pretty solid teams on the way there. But you know, if you're a person like me, I always like to look back and, you know, if we're believing in this narrative that this team is turning the corner, you know, how have teams done in similar circumstances? And in six of the last 10 years, the team that won the NIT did not make the NCAA tournament the next season. And of the four teams that did, only one of them advanced past the first round. So there is not necessarily a great track record for NIT winners. With that said, Tony Carr was excellent down the stretch here. He potentially could be back. Most of the rest of the team could be back. So if you're a Penn State fan, you got to be hopeful. But, you know, no guarantee that the Nittany Lions will be tearing up the Big Ten next year, at least in my opinion.
We are very close to heading into transfer season. As a matter of fact, I've seen a little bit of movement here. Purdue added, is it a Dartmouth transfer that could factor in for Matt Painter next year?
Yeah, it should be interesting. I'll be honest, I haven't had a ton of time to look into him and how he might impact Purdue. But if you're someone who's followed the Boilermakers much of the season, they're losing four senior starters. Carson Edwards, who is was one of the best players in the Big Ten this year, he declared for the NBA draft without an agent, so he could be back. He could go pro. Nobody's quite sure yet. So they're going to need all the help they can next year, and they're going to be very, very inexperienced. So if they can bring in a guy with a little more experience, that's good news for Matt Painter and his staff.
All right, Thomas, enjoy the game tomorrow night. And as a Big Ten fan, hopefully you're enjoying Monday night as well. Thanks for the time.
I hope so. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thomas Bendit of SB Nation, the managing editor for the BT Powerhouse site. Great conversation with him, as always. He is a Michigan alum, and it's either going to be the Wolverines or the Ramblers winning. We ask you today at KGYMradio.com our Emil's Hideaway poll question: which two teams are going to be playing Monday night in San Antonio for the title? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. If you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan, you haven't had a whole lot to be happy about this season. The Blackhawks did not make the playoffs, but last night, it was a special night inside the United Center for one person who was attending the game as a spectator and then wound up as a participant. If you haven't heard Scott Foster's story, you will if you stick around in the next couple minutes. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DuPaco member? Join today in branch or online at DuPaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Well, he wants scores, all the scores from Boston to Chicago.
And she wants songs, all her favorite songs from Boston to Chicago.
You sing along to Little Red Corvette every single time it's on the radio.
And you still talk about the Big Red Machine.
Not as much. My teams are L.A. and Philly.
So you're an L.A. woman now.
Yeah, for baseball. And hello, Eagles all the way.
Just because they beat Brady, you are such a pretender.
Oh, Brass in Pocket, another great song.
Smart Sports on KGYM. And Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites. Looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we could try the...
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Let's keep that on the down low. It's not exactly street legal.
Welcome back in. It is 4:50, an opportunity for you to take home tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium on Saturday, June 9th, right now, if you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, 366-1600 will take home those tickets. Last night, the Blackhawks are playing the Winnipeg Jets, the playoff-bound Winnipeg Jets, one of the best teams in the NHL,
yep,
at the United Center. It's been a miserable season for the Blackhawks. They're not going to the postseason. Their goalie, their starting goalie, Anton Forsberg, was injured during the pregame. So that left them with only backup Colin Delia, who was outstanding for a little over two periods last night. And then with about 14 and a half minutes remaining in the third period, Colin Delia was injured. Now, for those of you who don't follow National Hockey League action, every team is required to have a backup goalie, an emergency backup goalie. It's usually, it can be the equipment manager, somebody with ties to the team.
So some teams, like you said, equipment manager for the St. Louis Blues, they have a guy who played Division II hockey at Illinois. Martin Brodeur was the emergency goalie a couple of years ago. But yes, one of the more strange, in my opinion, strange situations in sports is the emergency goalie, because
no other sport
do you have a situation where you have some random person who is not qualified really to play in your league having at least the possibility of stepping into game action.
So that random person last night for the Chicago Blackhawks was a 36-year-old accountant by day by the name of Scott Foster, who was in the press box watching the game. He has his gear at the arena, as you are required if you're listed as your team's emergency goalie. He's got his gear there. He's up in the press box, and Delia exits the game. He gets the call. Imagine you are at a game, and all of a sudden, two-thirds of the way through, very bad at fractions, all of a sudden you go from spectator to participant. Here's the best part. So Foster dresses. He wears number 90. They've got a uniform for him. He skates out onto the ice and stops all seven shots that he faces. They name him the number one star after the game, and he's mobbed on the ice by his quote-unquote teammates for the night. Now, do you know what the worst part about this is for Scott Foster? I was fascinated by this.
The worst part about it?
The worst part about this.
No, I
don't. And he probably does not care about this today, but the collective bargaining agreement that the NHL players agreed to with management, the emergency goalie does not get paid. So he made no money last night skating on the ice with players who make millions of dollars. He gets nothing but beer league glory. And he does play in a beer league.
Two of them at
Johnny's Ice House, which is a facility in Chicago where they host hockey leagues. 36 years old. He's an accountant by trade. Last night, stopping all seven shots, the Blackhawks wind up winning 6-2. It was never really in doubt. Again, Delia was very good for the first two periods. And then for over the final 14 and a half minutes, Foster takes their they chanted his name in the United Center last night, which, again, Blackhawks fans haven't really had a whole lot to be excited about. But that is one of the coolest stories you're going to see in the sports world this year outside of what's going on with Loyola right now. But the Blackhawks have been terrible this year, and at least for one night, there was something enjoyable happening related to the team. The NHL has already put the ad out where you can order number 90 Foster personalized jerseys and T-shirts and whatnot.
I think this is only the second time in history.
He doesn't get any of that money either, right?
No,
he
doesn't.
He's not a member of the Players Association.
This is only the second time in history that an emergency goaltender has ever been used. And he played at Western Michigan in 2005 and 2006 season. That was the last time he played. So fast forward 12 years, you're an accountant during the day, and you step in onto the ice having no idea that you are playing. Your team is up 6-2, and you have, oh, by the way, Dustin Byfuglien and Patrick Laine, who's probably one of the top five snipers in the NHL, is firing shots at you.
I can't imagine that. Are you listening out there today, hockey guy? You say we never talk any hockey. I could not pass up telling that story. You're at a Colonels game. You haven't played baseball since you were in high school 15 years ago, and the next thing you know, Royce Lewis or somebody fouls a ball off their ankle. They can't go. The bench is empty, and they look up into section 112 in the stands, and they go, quick, run down. John John's going to get you a uniform, and you're stepping into the batter's box. That's essentially what it was last night. And like you said, it's only the second time. But to stop all seven shots, he's doing it against a playoff team, a very good
Winnipeg team. One of the best teams in the Western Conference, yes.
And he's going to be able to tell that story for the rest of his life. I think every single one of us would gladly step into Scott Foster's shoes for 15 minutes of ice time last night, except for me, because I can't ice skate, and it would have been really awkward. I would have just, please don't make me move. I'm just going to park myself in front of the net. Kyle has parked himself here in the studio after talking with Brian in Winthrop. He's our winner tonight of the hairball tickets. Kyle's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Iowa baseball's in Champaign this weekend for a weekend series with number 25, Illinois. The Illini are 16-5 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, while the Hawkeyes are 14-8 and 1-1 in the conference. Lefty Nick Allgaier will get the start in Game 1 tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. Former Cyclone guard Donovan Jackson participated in the NCAA three-point contest last night, but was eliminated in the first round, scoring just 12 points. Next up for him is the inaugural three-on-three tournament that will take place at the Final Four this weekend. Iowa State football got a commitment yesterday from class of 2019 cornerback Joseph Thompson. He's a 5'10", three-star cornerback out of Chicago, the 23rd-ranked recruit in Illinois, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Illinois, Ball State, and Toledo, among others. The Rough Riders sit at 21-23 with just 7 games left to get above 500. And tonight they're heading to Dubuque for a matchup with the Fighting Saints. Puck drop will be at 7:05 at Mystique Ice Arena. And then tomorrow night the Riders are back home with the Chicago Steel. And you can see that one right here in Cedar Rapids also at 7 o'clock. Tonight after the show, we're going to pick up the women's Final Four games. We'll join Louisville and Mississippi State in progress, and they'll be followed by Notre Dame trying to keep it close with UConn on all three KGYM frequencies. And then tomorrow, we'll pick up coverage of the men's Final Four at 2:30 before Loyola and Michigan tip around 5, followed by Kansas and Villanova, also on all three KGYM frequencies.
All right, it is a Friday staple. Love it or leave it kicks off hour number 2. Stick with us. More on the way.
My neighbor's always...